It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Violence has erupted again in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad, as the disputed Red Mosque reopened for Friday prayers. Hundreds of students clashed with police. A bomb exploded not far from the mosque, killing at least 11 people. The mosque had been the scene of a bloody week-long siege earlier this month, where more than 100 people died. As Pakistan's army seized the mosque from an extremist group that wanted to impose a strict version of Islamic law. That clash became a battle between competing visions of Pakistan itself. And as a kind of fresh start, the government repainted the Red Mosque white. But that battle continued today, as NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
It was a day in which tension turned into bloodshed with alarming speed. A large and emotional crowd gathered at the Red Mosque for Friday prayers. Bearded religious students chanted anti-government protests. They daubed the newly repainted building in red, its original colour, and they refused to allow a government-appointed cleric to lead prayers. Eventually, skirmishes broke out. Police fired tear gas, students threw rocks, and within a couple of hours, the rescue services were ferrying away the dead and injured from the bombing not far away. At the core of this unrest lies these events, which played out here less than 3 weeks ago.
For any government, when things come to such a pass that it has to open fire on its own people, it's very sad. It breaks our heart.
Tasnim Aslam of Pakistan's foreign ministry says what happened at the Red Mosque, or Lal Masjid, was unavoidable. She says the activities of the extremists who'd taken control of the mosque left the government of General Pervez Musharraf no choice.
They were acting as vigilantes, going around arresting people. No society would tolerate that. But what the government had to do was unpleasant. Though necessary, it was very, very unpleasant.
After an eight-day siege, Musharraf ordered his troops to storm the mosque complex. There was chaos. More than 100 people were killed. Some were militants, a dozen were soldiers, some were just students. It wasn't long before the backlash began, revenge attacks that seemed more suited to Iraq than Pakistan. Suicide bombers blew up Pakistani soldiers and police recruits, and, as ever, any members of the public unlucky enough to be in the way. More than 200 people died within 2 weeks, mostly in Pakistan's northwest, the most volatile and religiously conservative part of the country. Pakistanis began to talk of a full-scale confrontation between the moderates and fundamentalists, and of a rising tide of violent religious extremism destabilizing the country. Bente Abdul Aziz was one of 3,000 female students in a madrasa within the Red Mosque compound. She took part in the siege but left before the Pakistani troops stormed in.
Many of our fellow students, male and female, are still missing. We don't even know how many people were martyred, and how many are missing, and how many are back at home.
Like most of the students from the Red Mosque's madrasas, Aziz came from Pakistan's northwest frontier province. In Pakistan, intensely devout Muslim women don't usually speak with Western journalists, but Aziz has agreed to meet at a house near her village. She wants the outside world to understand how she and her fellow religious students think. She sits beneath a black burqa, which even conceals her eyes. Ignorance and poverty are often blamed for creating religious fundamentalism. Aziz, who's 22, suffers from neither of these conditions. She's middle class, single, and highly articulate. She has access to the internet, a mobile phone, and knowledge of world events. She sees the storming of the Red Mosque as a conflict which has set the Pakistani state and its army against the faithful.
What happened to us was totally unacceptable. We were attacked by Muslims. We thought they were our brothers.
Aziz disputes government claims that the Red Mosque clerics had a large arsenal of weapons, but she doesn't deny students kidnapped people, including an alleged brothel owner. She argues doing this was a religious duty, as Islam compels Muslims to intervene if they encounter sacrilegious behaviour. And anyway, she points out, Musharraf himself ignores the writ of law. After all, didn't he seize power in a coup? Aziz deeply regrets leaving the Red Mosque complex before it was stormed. She says she'd much rather have died there.
The government accuses us of being suicide bombers. But our leader always said suicide attacks are forbidden in Islam. He would never allow it. Yet we were ready to die for Islam. That's what we wanted. It turned out we made a mistake and came out of the mosque compound.
Aziz says during the siege, she was caught in crossfire. Tear gas shells and bullets rained in. Occasionally she weeps. It's clear she's struggling to overcome the trauma.
I can't sleep. I don't want to eat or drink. I suddenly wake up at night and my whole body is shaking. I have no peace of mind. It's not through fear. It's because we're worried about our parents and brothers and sisters in prison. And because we're waiting for Musharraf's downfall.
You don't have to travel far in Pakistan's northwest frontier province to find others who feel the same way about their military ruler. In this part of the country, the storming of the Red Mosque has made a big impact on public opinion. The province's parliament is controlled by an alliance of Islamic religious parties. On this highly conservative landscape, Musharraf's so-called enlightened moderation has few friends. In his bakery in the village of Jagra, Mumriz Khan is making the day's supply of cookies. Residents often gather in his shop to drink tea and gossip. Events at the Red Mosque, or Lal Masjid, are high on the agenda.
People said that innocent children were killed. They say what happened at Lal Masjid was not good. They criticized the government.
Anger over the Red Mosque is meshing with other grievances. Half this village are Pashtuns, the same ethnic group as the Taliban militants fighting American and international forces in Afghanistan, on the far side of the Khyber Pass, some 30 miles away. The men of the bakery shop grumble about Musharraf's support for the US. We're fighting someone else's war, says a teacher called Mohammed Ershad. That's another reason, he says, for the violence now erupting in this region. The US supported Musharraf's intervention at the Red Mosque. Washington is now following that up by leaning on the general to use more military force against Islamist militants, especially in the border tribal belt that abuts the northwest frontier province. US intelligence says those areas are now a safe haven for Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, thanks to a recent 10-month truce Musharraf made with local tribal leaders. Ershad, the teacher, believes this US pressure, coupled with events like the Red Mosque storming, only deepens the sense of injustice widely felt by Pakistanis.
The United States has never been happy with the performance of Pakistan. Pakistan has suffered most of the casualties in the war in this region, more than the US. But the US is always asking us to do more. What more can we do?
Tasnim Aslam of Pakistan's foreign ministry believes most Pakistanis were glad to see their government take on the extremists inside the Red Mosque.
Majority of Pakistanis did not agree with what Lal Masjid clerics were doing. They were opposed to it. Even religious scholars from all schools of thought had come out and condemned the waywardness of this madrasa.
The government hopes the issue will now fade away, and so do Pakistan's moderates. For Benti Abdulaziz, the madrasa student, that'll never happen. Listen to her talk, and it's hard not to conclude that the conflict between Pakistan's hardline Islamists and the rest of society has a long way to go.
This isn't the first time Musharraf has done this sort of thing. The fire has just started. It might go on like this if the nation doesn't stand up for itself, and if our clergy doesn't show some courage. Then I fear this fire will destroy the whole of Pakistan.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.
And the War of the Colors continues. The new white paint on the Red Mosque was barely dry when protesting students began repainting it red.